Have you ever been around somebody that maybe you just met and they're not very nice? I'm sure you all have. I know I have. And for some reason, they are perpetually grumpy. Matter of fact, even no matter what is talked about or what is going on, they have something negative to say that even in the most pleasant of situations, they're always able to find the one negative thing. And after a while, after being with somebody like that, it kind of wears on you of hanging around with grumpy people. And invariably, someone close to them, a spouse, a relative, or a friend, leans over and whispers in your ear, "Just ignore him. He's always like that." I don't know if you've ever been around people like that, but I certainly have, and I totally believe it because I have witnessed the behavior with my own two eyes. So yeah, I totally know that they are like that, but I put a caveat onto that. I don't buy that as an excuse if someone is a Christian. See, being a curmudgeon is not one of the fruit of the Holy Spirit as talked about in Galatians 5. As you know, joy is one of those fruits. And I think joy is a far cry from being grumpy or being a curmudgeon. Yet one of the aspects of Christian living, at any age and at any place in your faith walk from beginning to near the end, is growth. And growth kind of happens this way, that you have a change in perspective, which leads to the opportunity of a change in behavior. And one would hope that any time and any place in your life that you can see who is a person of faith by how they treat other people. Stands to reason, right, that if we are called to love and care and be joyful people, that it would be evident that we live differently than somebody necessarily who's a grump or a curmudgeon. Now, here's the thing, is before you think I'm going to go off on a tangent on here and you start thinking about other people, I want you to not go in that direction. I don't want you to start thinking about, oh, I wish Joe was here this morning so he could hear this because he's totally grumpy. That's not where we're going. I want us to think about those who are here for us. How is it that we can have a change in perspective that will lead us to a change in behavior, because we all have that capacity? We actually even have that opportunity because God wants to offer it to each and every one of us if we are open to it. But it always begins with a change in perspective and then the next big step, the opportunity to change. Because we all have this chance or this opportunity or even at times a choice to draw closer to God until we see him face to face, no matter what age or where we're at in life. And of course, we're going to have our ups and downs, right? We have a plan, and it doesn't turn out the way we plan. It turns out to be lots of ups and downs. And when we're going down versus up, we get frustrated, we get grumpy, we get upset. That's a part of life. But even St. Paul, the person that wrote that letter to the church in Rome, the one that Robin was talking about, somebody that we label a saint in the church, struggled with the ups and downs of life. Even he struggled with being the person that God had called him to be. And if you think about that, that's even more amazing for the fact that he had a personal encounter with God. He encountered Jesus on the road to Damascus and had an up-close and personal moment where he knew beyond the shadow of a doubt that God existed, and yet he still struggles. And he admits it. "For I have the desire to do what is good, but I can't carry it out." He wants to do the right thing, but he doesn't always succeed. Matter of fact, he uses that word desire, which makes me wonder, which only each of us can answer that question. We can't answer it for anybody else, is do we have the desire to do what is good? Now, I'm not implying anything. You're good people. But there is a big difference between being good and nice when people are watching or when we're in church and desiring the right thing to happen wherever you are? Or to put it another way, and desire could be translated this way, do you take pleasure in doing the right thing? St. Paul says, well, I have the intention, but not the ability at times. He freely admits it. And I would imagine, depending on our frame of mind and what's going on in our life, we're probably in the same boat. Sometimes, for whatever reason, it is easier to want the right thing to happen, to do it. And other times, it's not. I mean, clearly, it is an issue of something we would call sin. Sin is a part of our lives. I mean, that's why we understand that we need forgiveness, is that there's sin and there's brokenness, but we need to answer the question. This is the change in perspective part. But what is sin? And I think that in a basic way, for many Christians, sin is just a list of things in the Bible that God said was wrong. No, we can go to the Bible, we can look, we can start in the Ten Commandments. No, there's a list of things that we should not do. We go to Leviticus and Deuteronomy, Old Testament. There's lots of things that would still apply to us that God says is wrong. Jesus talks about certain sinful behaviors. St. Paul, of course, has lists in a lot of his letters as well. Now, I'm not going to tell you these lists are wrong, but they are neither comprehensive nor completely accurate. So if we take kind of this basic element, well, if it's in the Bible, that's what it says, then that's... We need to move beyond just lists. Because here's the thing. You should not be shocked about this. That it's not comprehensive or completely accurate. Let me give you just two examples of this. According to the scriptures, slavery is not a sin. You know, we don't believe that. At least I hope you see that slavery is wrong. And oppression is wrong. But that's one of those places. Another one is that according to Scripture, even in the New Testament, that women who are in church should always be silent. Yeah, right? Yeah. Yeah, good luck with that one, right? And their hair should be long. Robin, you read and your hair is shorter. I like, what's going on? Yeah, right? So you can see that in certain places, things don't necessarily line up all the time. You know, this part of the sermon is going to go a lot harder when Rachel is at second service. I'm just saying, because I'm going to look right at her when we just see it. Can you delete that in the recording? We don't need that in there. But so what I'm telling you is, I want to encourage you to go beyond just simple lists in the Bible and say, well, the Bible says that that's it. I want us to go beyond that and to think about what sin really is. And what I would tell you is, I'm not saying I'm anti-biblical at all. Matter of fact, I'm going to give you a biblical definition of sin, which I think will be more clear than just going from a group of lists. Jesus tells us that the two most important things in terms of how we relate to the world is love God and love your neighbor. I think we'd all agree on that. And so there's our working definition for sin, is that when we stop putting God first and our neighbor, those around us first, we're sinning. That when we are selfish and doing our own thing and we're not thinking about God or others, that's a working definition for sin. You could ask it a different way. You could say, what is the will of God? And we say, well, the will of God is to love God and love neighbor. And when we cease to do that, that's where we can evaluate what sin is and isn't. And this is what I'd say about that, is that I would rather be able to think critically about what sin is rather than to be told, don't do this or do this. Because being able to discern what is sin helps me to react to a situation in a more Christ-like or a more faithful way. In other words, if I'm confronted with making a decision of how I'm going to act, I can ask myself, is this really loving my neighbor? Is this really showing love to God? I mean, and sometimes it is the sin of omission, right? It is like, by not doing this, am I showing love? I mean, that is exactly, the sin of omission is just as big as the sin of commission, of doing something, is that is what gets me off the couch to vacuum the floors. That is what gets me off the couch to do the laundry sometimes. because I know that by not doing them, I'm not really being loving. I mean, some of you might remember in the old green hymnal. You pine for those days, Melody, don't you? The old green hymnal. Where every Sunday we'd have the same confession, and we would confess the things done and left undone. I mean, I totally resonate with the things left undone. Because often, if people aren't paying attention, I want to be selfish and self-centered. I mean, when I'm not loving God and loving others, I'm thinking about me, myself, and I, and numero uno. That's kind of the choice there. And these may be things people, anyone would ever notice, but you know. So here's how you can move from a change of perspective, understanding what sin is, to an opportunity for change. Do you care? I mean, that really is where it comes down to, is once you understand what sin is, the second thing you have to address is, if you're going to change it, do you really care? I mean, being self-aware is one thing, but caring about it is where God can actually start to act in your life. Because if you don't care, nothing changes. Matter of fact, Paul articulates that just a little bit later in this same section in his letter to the Church of Rome. He says it in a different way, but he's really saying the same thing. He says, those who live according to the sinful nature have their mind set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit, notice capital S, Holy Spirit, have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. Which is a different way of saying, those who care are thinking about, what does God want for me? And those who don't care say, I'm going to do my own thing. People who don't care do what comes naturally. And we all have that capacity within us. But those who truly belong to Christ care about what God wants for them. See, and this is why I struggle with grumpy people. Or people who are mean to others, and then the people who make excuses for them. You know, don't pay him, no, never mind. He's like that with everyone. See, what I'm hearing when I hear things like that is that person really doesn't care about anyone other than themselves and especially their opinions, which is totally fine. Everybody's entitled. But here's where I get the snag in my life on this is, if they say they are a practicing Christian, I don't buy it because there ain't no practicing going on. It's when you start to care about what God wants for us and those around us that actually life becomes exciting, because you stop living for yourself and you start to see God in places you never expected God to show up, because you're actually caring and looking. See, when Jesus was preaching and healing in this 3-year ministry of his, what happened at one point in time is there were some towns that he went to in Israel that really wanted no part of what he was talking about and no part of what he was doing. They don't really care about what God was up to. They just didn't. They didn't want to hear that God was gentle and loving and forgiving, and even the healing they weren't really interested in. And in Matthew chapter 11, as Matthew is telling this story, just before the part that we read earlier today, Jesus pronounces judgment on these cities that wanted no part of him. He called it the woes on these cities. And the reason he pronounces judgment is they didn't care and they didn't want to change. So he says, you know what, fine. If that's what you want, then that's what you get. But then he follows up with, essentially, for those who do care, for those who are interested, for those who do struggle with being self-centered and don't like the isolation that it causes, here are my words for you. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I mean, Jesus said, are you tired of keeping up appearances? Are you tired of the conflicts that always seem to crop up because you insist on always having your own way? come and learn from me. Come to learn a different way of living, to be gentle to others, and to look to God for direction. He said, this is where you will find rest. You'll be able to exhale a new way of living that is better than life on your own. Now, there's a great paraphrase by Eugene Peterson called The Message, and this is a beautiful version of that. So let me read that to you. Same take on the passage here. Jesus says, are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. That's awesome. So forgiveness is so important. I mean, it's a part of what we need in life so we can move forward and not be held hostage by our past. See, God doesn't want us to live in the past full of regrets. God wants us to move forward, but that is only a portion of why Jesus came to be with us. See, he doesn't want to just be this dispenser, a vending machine of forgiveness that week in and week out we come to church so that we can be forgiven to go out and just kind of keep doing the things we're always doing. Jesus also wants us to see how much better life is with him than living for ourselves. So there is a gift beyond forgiveness. It is this gift to live in the freedom of loving others and following Jesus and being humble. Ultimately, that's what I want in life. That's what I aim to be and to do. I want more freedom in my life. I don't want to be shackled by self-centered living, and I will struggle with that until the day I die. I get that because that's the human condition, but that's what I want. But I also don't want to leave Rachel, my wife, with the burden of someday having to tell people, don't pay any attention to him, he's that way to everybody. So I'm gonna try a little bit harder and live in that grace of God just a little bit more. Amen.